It's been an eventful year in U.S. women's soccer. Over the summer, the national team brought home a World Cup victory in France, and everyone looked toward the National Women's Soccer League to build on that momentum.
Back in October, we spoke with The Athletic's Megan Linehan just after the NWSL final, a 4-0 victory for the North Carolina Courage over the Chicago Red Stars, about how the league has been progressing and where it could be headed next.
And we're replaying that episode today as part of our look back at 2019. From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Kavitha Davidson.
And I'm Anders Kelto. This is The Lead.
It felt like something great was happening.
There was just something about the emotion and that moment.
The failures of the past don't matter because we got this guy.
Are you kidding me?
I've never seen anything like that.
That's not good news.
This isn't a story where you interview the athlete and go home. It stays with you.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Lead ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
So Meg, what was it like at the stadium on Sunday?
The atmosphere was really great. Over 10,000 people in attendance. The Chicago fans traveled incredibly well and sang for 90 minutes straight. I mean, some people drove from Chicago, so they really went above and beyond. There was actually like a real fan zone outside. Budweiser, the league sponsor, was very, very present. And U.S. national team had sent along the World Cup trophies for fans to look at and take photos with. So there was a little bit of something for everyone.
And so what happened at the game?
A lot of us walking into that stadium kind of knew that North Carolina was probably going to do what North Carolina does, which is win games.
Her partner Jess McDonald on the other side will put it back for Dabinia. Gordon got there, but Dabinia scores!
One early goal from Dabinia, who eventually won the championship MVP award. Their midfield just completely dominated.
And they got three more goals from three U.S. national team players, Jess McDonald, Crystal Dunn, and Sam Mewis.
Yes.
Dahlkemper right in the middle! North Carolina scored again! Sam Mewis joins the party!
So, you know, backing up just a second, Meg, just tell us a little bit about the NWSL. It's a league that's been around a lot longer than many people even realize.
Yes, definitely. This is the first time we've actually had a women's professional soccer league that has lasted longer than 3 years. There were two that existed previously, but NWSL was formed in 2013. Back then it had 8 teams. Now we're up to 9. So it's got every single player from the U.S. national team in it, plus international players like Sam Kerr, who plays for the Chicago Red Stars, Marta of Orlando Pride, Christine Sinclair in Portland with the Thorns. So it's really just kind of still, as of right now, in theory, the best women's professional league in the world.
You know, one interesting case study with the league is the Portland Thorns. They didn't make the final. They got knocked out in the semis. But they've actually averaged over 20,000 people at home games this year.
You know, I've stood in front of their supporters group, like actually on the field for games, and it's just a wall of sound. And they have smoke and they have chants.
BT! FC! BT! FC!
they are cursing and they are screaming at the referee and they are cheering on their players. Like, it is just, like, it's the best place, I think, to watch an NWSL game.
A record crowd on hand here in Providence Park today for this one. Over 25,000 strong. Keep them coming. And why not if you're getting action like this? We'll be back to wrap things up.
How is it that the Portland Thorns have built such a large fan base and become so successful?
I think the successful thing about Portland and the way that they draw in fans is every single element to this team, whether it's players, front office, supporters, casual people in town, they have media support. Everybody's kind of pulling in the same direction.
And is their success something that can be replicated? Because at least right now, there really aren't any other teams in the NWSL with those kind of attendance figures.
I think it is very encouraging to see the full potential of an NWSL team, and Portland has gotten there much faster than the rest of the league. But I think that ultimately, as special as Portland is, that there are things that can be copied from that market to help improve the rest and also potential future cities for NWSL.
Got it. So the big event this summer, of course, was the World Cup. A lot of people watched the U.S. team win their fourth championship, and it seems like that translated into some momentum for the NWSL.
I think that one of the biggest things that happened is, one, they got a short-term television deal for the back half of the season on ESPN. That was a huge move that the league needed. And then they also got a new sponsor in Budweiser. They did like a full-page ad in the New York Times right after the final, and it was basically this empty stadium, essentially, for a Reign FC game. Megan Rapinoe kind of front and center and saying, like, you know, you say that you're a fan of women's soccer, you're watching the World Cup, you can watch these players at home.
If we really are supporters, if we really care as much as we say we do, are as inspired as we claim to be, then today is not the end. Today is a new beginning. Because this time, we won't stop watching.
And we know for a fact that you're not, because look at this photo and look at the attendance numbers compared to a World Cup, which is in France, and the way that you travel to France or the way that you tune into TV to watch the U.S. national team. You can do that with the league. They actually just launched a second half of this campaign that challenges other brands to sponsor the league.
Yeah, these fans drink beer, but they also use their phones for texting and headphones for music. They eat snacks. And their pets do, too. The more support the league gets, the more the world will watch. The more the world watches, the closer we get to an equal playing field. And that's something we can all cheers to.
They're actually saying, go tweet at other brands to sponsor this league, because that's how much we believe in it.
And is this campaign working?
I've actually talked with the Budweiser people, and they said that they've been really blown away by the amount of engagement, the sales numbers. They've been working with supporters groups, with the teams directly. It really does seem like they are not necessarily surprised, but I think that it kind of exceeded even their expectations.
And you mentioned a minute ago this new contract with ESPN. Do we know how ratings have been on those broadcasts?
It is an absolute pleasure to be back with you where this league belongs, on national television. This is the first game of 14 on ESPN's family of networks. We start today. We'll take you all the way through the championship.
Yeah, they've definitely been strong. I think part of what helps with the ESPN deal is that it's actually in front of a sports audience. So, I mean, two of the most recent numbers that we have now are for last week's NWSL semifinals. The North Carolina versus Reign FC game got 103,000 viewers. Chicago versus Portland, the game right after, ended up with 155,000 viewers. So it's actually, they're looking pretty good. I mean, the MLS game that was on that same weekend on ESPN News only brought in 80,000. And granted, it's on ESPN News as opposed to a more widely distributed network. But it's definitely stronger than what we've seen in the past. I mean, I was looking up some old numbers, and back in 2015, there was one game that only got 28,000, and that was kind of the bigger playoff game of that year. So we have seen some real progress on that front.
You know, whenever we talk about women's professional sports leagues in the U.S., it seems like the conversation always turns to, like, questions about, you know, how it's doing financially and is it going to survive in the long run and how much interest is there really. But I think a lot of people don't realize that even on the men's side, how long it takes a league to become financially sustainable. I mean, Major League Soccer, for instance, which was launched in 1996, is still not profitable. And yet you have owners on the men's side who are willing to kind of invest in the league in the long term and take those losses for the sake of a long-term vision. But for whatever reason, it seems like you don't see that on the women's side.
100%. I mean, one of my favorite jokes is just, you know, yelling blindly onto the internet, but the revenue, right? I think that there is this expectation, fair or not, with women's sports, that we expect them to be financially viable from day one, which is just not how these things have historically worked by any stretch of the imagination. And at the end of the day, I think everyone involved in this is kind of saying, but what if the fundamental question at the heart of it is actually about respect and about giving it the chance to grow? So I think that a lot of the owners within that NWSL world have that sort of long-term view. The question is, who's going to still be around in another 5 or 10 years when they still might not be making money, but they might be making money in 20 years?
And there's also this sort of chicken and egg debate around media coverage. Like, some media outlets don't cover women's sports because they say there's not enough interest. But at the same time, we know that covering a sport generates interest.
I mean, when you look at the breakdown of media coverage, I mean, the fact that I'm working at The Athletic, I'm really the only full-time reporter on women's soccer in the country for a mainstream outlet, period. I'm like a very huge rarity in this field. You know, before I even got this job and moved to a full-time position in sports a few years ago, I paid out of pocket to cover women's soccer. I paid for all of my own travel, all of my own equipment, you name it. Like, I don't know how many thousands of dollars I lost. So to say that women's soccer doesn't have interest, well, of course, because you're not actually like hitting the marketplace in any sort of meaningful fashion when women's sports gets, I mean, it's definitely single digits. It depends on what study you look at, but it's, you know, 4 or 5% of all overall media coverage. So how are you supposed to say women's sports, there's no interest there when there's no coverage of it?
When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And so, Megan Rapinoe really became a household name this summer during the World Cup. And in many ways, she has become the face of the NWSL.
So I think Megan Rapinoe probably had the craziest summer out of any player on the national team. And a lot of that stemmed from the fact that she is, you know, somewhat outspoken politically. She is willing to share her opinions. And she had filmed this old video back in, I think it was January, for a photo shoot where she said,
I'm not going to the White House. No, I'm not going to the White House. That's, okay. We're not going to be invited.
And that blew up.
That did not sit well with U.S. President Donald Trump, who took to Twitter to respond to Rapinoe, saying, I am a big fan of the American team and women's soccer, but Megan should win first before she talks. Finish the job.
Then I think the rest of that World Cup just turned into a really interesting time of her having to navigate political stuff and, you know, getting those questions at the podium of World Cup press conferences.
I stand by the comments that I made about not wanting to go to the White House, with the exception of the expletive. My mom will be very upset about that. But I think obviously entering...
And then her girlfriend, who plays in the WNBA for Seattle Storm, Sue Bird, you know, writes this article on Players Tribune that's like, so the president hates my girlfriend. as she's having this, you know, golden ball winning performance for the World Cup.
Heath in the box, two runners across. It goes free. Rapinoe shot. Go! 2-0 U.S.
He ends up winning the FIFA Best Player of the Year. Plus, you add in the equal pay fight. She's one of the players who is most willing to go on the record on that front. So you just get this perfect storm.
One goal off the left foot from Rapinoe on a set piece. One goal off the right foot there. Guess who might win the Golden Boot race?
You know, Megan, you know Megan Rapinoe quite well. You've interviewed her many times over the years. How would you describe her? How is the person that you know different or similar to her sort of public persona coming out of this summer?
I think actually the joy of Megan Rapinoe is that she kind of is what she is. So actually when I went out to speak with her for a story for The Athletic earlier this year, you know, she basically told me, like, I got famous for all the things that I already was.
It's not like I said something crazy or, I do say, but it's not more than normal. I've been saying all these things for all this time. elevated level.
And, yeah.
You know, actually for me, I feel like it's great because more people are listening to the things that I'm saying or things that the team is saying.
So I think that she is definitely off the cuff in terms of what she will say, but it's not anything that she doesn't believe. She's always going to tell you what she's thinking.
How, if at all, has she been using her new celebrity, if you want to call it that, or her new platform since the World Cup?
Every kind of major speech that she's had since the World Cup, whether it was at City Hall in New York City as part of the celebrations, or you know when she won the Best Women's Player of the Year via FIFA, she's always also kind of issued this challenge at the same time.
Trying to use those things for good and trying to challenge people and constantly bring the conversation and make people think and, constantly reevaluate where we are in the world. Are we doing enough? Are we good enough? Can we be better? And I think the answer to those questions is always yes. So I feel like for me, I feel a responsibility to do this.
And so now that she's returned from the World Cup, you know, this gigantic stage for soccer, how is Megan Rapinoe feeling about the NWSL?
I think that she was a little frustrated just in terms of not seeing the leap for NWSL when it comes to audience or eyeballs or, you know, attendance.
I just don't understand, like, the quality of the league is really good and all the players that play in it. And we would attract all the best players in the world because everyone pretty much wants to come to America and play.
Yeah.
So I think all of us are like, yeah, it's here. Hello. Like, this is what we do all the time. We're here 7 months a year.
You know, she thinks that the games are good and she thinks more people should be watching.
So, Meg, you've been covering women's soccer for quite a while now. How do you feel things are going overall?
I think that the actual state of women's soccer in America is intriguing in a way that I've never really seen it before. This is going to be a real test of the league to say, okay, we're setting aside maybe some of U.S. soccer's support to actually get a real feel for what the demand is. We're waiting to see what 2020 is going to look like. But from everyone that I've talked to within the league, whether it's a player, an owner, you know, front office kind of person, people are excited for what comes next. And I think that that's a really positive sign for a league that's about to hit its eighth season and is looking to make it 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And so I think that there's an understanding that this is still very much a work in progress and a lot of work still needs to be done. But I think that we're going to see a lot of that growth happen very quickly over the next year or two.
Well, Meg, thanks so much for joining us today.
All right. Thank you so much.
Since this episode first aired, Megan Rapinoe won the Ballon d'Or, International Soccer's Player of the Year.
Nice pronunciation, Kavita.
Merci. And she was named both Sports Illustrated Sports Person of the Year and The Athletic Soccer Person of the Year.
As for the NWSL, the ownership group behind Louisville City FC, which currently plays in the lower level USL, has agreed to terms with the NWSL. And a new team called Proof Louisville FC is expected to enter the league in 2021. From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Anders Kelto.
And I'm Kavitha Davidson. We'll be back with another look back at 2019 on Monday.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.